Father, this morning we come before you and we recognize that we're just weak vessels in need of your truth. And so we acknowledge that need this morning and we ask that your Spirit would enlighten our eyes to the truths of your word. Lord, we trust your word. We trust the truths of your word and we pray that they would transform us and that they would work themselves deep into each of our hearts this morning as we allow your Spirit to do so. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I mentioned a couple weeks ago that it seems like every message in the book of Galatians has been about the same thing over and over and over again. and really, to some degree, that has been true. The Galatian churches were under the influence of the false teachers that were there who were convincing them that getting right with God and somehow maintaining their status with God was based on one's ability to keep the law and to follow certain rules. And as a result, they were substituting God's provision through Christ for salvation with personal performance for salvation. And so, needless to say, Paul, being the one who planted these churches and the one who preached the gospel to these people and saw them embrace and experience the gospel, is deeply concerned that they're now going spiritually backwards instead of going forwards. And so what you find is that Paul makes this convincing theological argument through the first 4.5 chapters of this letter, defining the fact that true freedom with God is not in my ability to keep certain rules, but in my decision to put my faith in Jesus Christ and the gospel. Now, as we come to verse 12 of chapter 4, there's this sudden and, I guess, significant shift in Paul's approach and in his tone. Because what you'll notice as we go through these verses is that there's really no deep theological content that Paul is addressing here. And so what you find is that his appeal isn't so much theological, but it has now become very personal. It's not so much from Paul the teacher, but all of a sudden it's now from Paul the friend. And as a friend, he has some very important things to say. You know, as a parent, one of the greatest joys is to see a son or daughter who has struggled with sin or somehow been under the bondage of sin, whatever that may look like. But through various circumstances, God all of a sudden grabs hold of their life and they see their sin for what it is. They give their life to Christ, and as a result, Christ begins changing them and transforming them. They have a desire to grow and be godly and be obedient to God. And in that whole process, God begins giving them victory over the sin that has kept them in chains. What a great joy that is to see that kind of thing happen. Some of you have experienced that. But on the other hand, one of the greatest burdens for a parent is to see their son or daughter who has been rescued from their struggles with sin only to go back to those very sins again. And so as a parent, you go to them and you plead with them and you try to help them understand what they're doing and why what they're doing is destroying them or enslaving them, and you beg of them. Now, that's all important